Here we go.
I don't really care about the facts and details.
Yo! Come on!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Think Big, Think Loud with Livingston and Selby. I'm Livingston.
And I'm Selby.
All right. We have two guests on today, both basically aficionados in hockey. the first is my buddy who has been on before, Andy. And then a friend of Lynn's is also on with us, Craig. Say hello, Craig.
Hey, everyone.
Andy?
Well, hello, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good day.
We're all doing wonderful. You guys, I know Andy played hockey years ago. Craig is, quite honestly, thinks it's the end-all, be-all sport. And you know, I agree with him on some points in that it just doesn't get the attention as some of the other sports do. And I think it deserves a little more attention. Andy,
what is a contact sport?
What's that?
It is a contact sport.
Yes. 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 You know, the saying was, I went to a fight the other day and a hockey game broke out.
All right. I don't know a whole lot about hockey.
Well, I was telling Craig, I'm not really big on knowing a lot about hockey either. I do find it very interesting when I do watch. I get excited. The company I used to work for had its own hockey team.
Wow.
And so I used to go to quite a few games with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's better when you know some of the people and you can root for somebody versus, you know, that's the problem I always had with any sport is not knowing the team, or at least not knowing someone.
Right.
Team with nothing invested, you have no reason to root. And if you don't root for them, then what's the point of watching?
Correct. Well, to watch the fights, that's,
yes, I guess. But again, you can't root.
I don't watch the hockey. I watch the fights.
Well, Craig, tell us your scope on what hockey's about.
What is your team? What is your go-to team?
Yeah. Well, first off, so my go-to team is the greatest team ever, and that's the Detroit Red Wings. They've been in a bit of a rebuild lately, but prior to that rebuild, they've been honestly one of the best teams to watch if you are a fan of the sport. I was born in 1990, and from the minute that I was born, the Wings started going to the playoffs every single year up until I think their record was 25 years or 26. So it's been a lot of fun. They've seen a lot of success, and it was definitely a good way to, as a kid, to get introduced to a sport, because being from Detroit, there's no lack of really crappy teams out there. So the Wings were always tried and true and awesome. The leadership, the players that went through that organization are Hall of Famers and legends. And I would say that's what really got me into hockey. I ended up playing too as a kid and all throughout, you know, high school.
Ice skating is a big thing up north anyway. I mean, it's kind of normal for anyone to learn how to ice skate if you're...
Is it easier to ice skate with hockey skates, or is it easier to skate with, like, figure skates?
I mean, from my understandings, and I've never been in figure skates, but from my understandings, they are made a bit differently, especially the blade. Mm-hmm. So I would probably fall flat on my face if I was to go to figure skates, but it's hard to say because regular skates for like, say, a player like a defenseman or an offenseman are different than goalie skates. And I actually played goalie most of my time.
Okay.
So They're a little different. I'm not exactly sure. I know figure skating, believe it or not, that takes a lot of talent.
Those have like a flat blade, don't they?
Yeah, they have a flat blade, and it allows them to like spin right in place. And the talent that it takes that goes into that is actually something that most hockey players couldn't do on their best day. So it's kind of funny how the two sports are completely different and take a lot of different talents. But yep, I was going to say, in terms of hockey, it's where it's at. That sport is the greatest sport. You get everything that you're looking for all in one place.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, so when it comes to the hitting, if you like the physical contact, you got players who are skating 30 miles an hour at times.
Wow.
And just laying into each other at the boards. So you got high contact. You'll see players constantly blocking the puck with their own body at whatever sacrifice. And then, you know, they'll have a tooth busted out or an orbital bone broken or some terrible stuff. And they get right back into the game. They don't care. You'll see them come right back out after a few stitches. Whereas,
how fast are those pucks moving?
It depends. If you let a puck get to the blue line, which is, where the defensemen are sitting, and you give them a chance to just rip it, those pucks can get up to 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
I think the record is 110, or it's close to that. I haven't kept up with the all-star games lately, but yeah, those things can get up there real quick. And there's been a few players who've taken a puck right to the face and just laid down. Don't get up.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Knocked out.
Yeah, and it's fast-paced. There's not like there's a scoring system like basketball where there's so many goals and points up on the board that it starts to get boring. Yet it's not like a soccer or football game where the points will remain low. It's just a good balance, a solid balance, and the players are tough. It's a lot of fun to watch them organize. And if you actually pay attention to hockey, you'll notice if you're a fan of basketball or soccer, a lot of ways the games are similar in how they structure their offense, moving the puck into the zone, getting it back and forth between players until you have that open shot, and then just letting it rip. So there's a lot of similarities there. It's just a lot faster pace and harder hitting.
Nice. And Andy, who is your team?
I'm a little odd. I think I like to watch hockey these days just for great hockey. So I'm more into good games and good players, I think, which is kind of weird. I get people's allegiance to teams and things like that, but after playing for a long time, it's like I just like to sit down these days and watch a really good game. And we're in the playoffs right now, so there've been quite a few good games. And like kind of early on in playoffs, I sort of rotate through a little, kind of pick teams in each series that I like and kind of cheer for them and that sort of thing. But I was cheering for Minnesota because I'm up here in their last one, but they just got eliminated. So now for the Western Division, we're hoping for Edmonton. I think that's who I've been watching all season. And they got a good win last night. And so that was pretty fun and good to watch.
When you played, Andy, you played for a team in Canada, right?
Yeah, I played. So hockey's kind of interesting. There's a lot of ways to make it through or to end up at a professional level, which I think is kind of a little more interesting and different than like football and basketball. I think a lot of those guys are coming out of colleges, right? It's kind of a one track to get there. Hockey, you can get guys coming out of college. For sure, there's good players that come out of colleges. There's a whole system of what they call junior hockey that's usually the youngest once in a while you'll see someone that's maybe 16, but that's fairly rare. Kind of geared towards trying to make it pro. So you got a lot of guys that are like 17, 18 years old, and then they're the NHL draft year is 18. So you got these guys trying to do the best they can to get drafted. The NHL and those leagues, they have an age limit at 20, but it's usually like you can only have two players that are 20 or something like that. But then you got guys coming over from Europe too. So there's whole wild systems over there. They have their own kind of semi-pro setups and junior setups and everything else. And so it's interesting because there's like tons of different ways that people can make it to the NHL. And that's kind of fun. You know, you get these teams and you're watching guys and there's Americans and there's Canadians, there's Russians, there's Latvians, mm-hmm. there's Swedes and guys from Finland, you know, and it's like, it's kind of cool. It's just international, well, at least Northern kind of countries, international sport, which is pretty fun. Huh. But so I played out my junior hockey. I was up in a couple different provinces for, I guess, 4 years. It was a long time ago. I was up there about 4 years and then I dinked around in some kind of semi-pro leagues down here for a little bit. There's sort of like five or six tiers, you know, you have the NHL and then there's kind of farm teams for those guys. And then there's farm teams for the farm team. And there's a farm team for the farm team of the farm team. And it just kind of goes down until you run out of people to play, I guess. And
wow,
so I played some kind of low tier farm league stuff for a bit. And then, couldn't crack through and decided I needed to grow up and do something else with my time, but it was fun.
Hell yeah.
Well, Craig and I were talking earlier before we started about, how, you know, hockey seems to be a little different than football because you don't hear a lot about guys being strung out on drugs or anything like that. And he's like, oh, it was there. Cocaine.
Domestic violence. Like, and
So I think
the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I think you saw some of that yourself when you were playing, Andy, with the cocaine part of it. But I don't.
It's still there.
It probably still is, I'm sure.
It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
it was again, I think it was Kuznetsov or something a few years ago, 2018 maybe. While Washington Capitals won the cup, and there's this hilarious picture that got circulated in the hotel room with a bunch of guys with the cup, and they had forgotten to put away the big bag of blow on the table, and
it
was all over everywhere, and just ridiculous, you know. And I think kind of swept it under the rug, and I think the guy got like a 2-game suspension the next season for it or something. And
yeah, two games. That's it.
It's pretty funny.
Well, he didn't beat his wife in the process, so.
No, yeah, well, that's thankfully.
He did.
They were just partying.
He didn't. No. Yeah, it's not necessarily an issue if there's drugs involved, but as soon as like altercations happen, and then it becomes a big deal.
Yeah.
And then it's a headline.
Huh.
It was a lot more prevalent, I think, in the 80s and 90s because, like I mentioned before we started this, there were enforcers and there was talented players.
Everyone was doing coke in the 80s and 90s. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't just
you'd get these enforcers who'd just get jacked up on it and then go out there and just punish people and beat the hell out of them. And that's where like a lot of the fighting in fantasy and all that stuff got played big into, is because there was Ty Domi, Joey Kosher, Bob Probert, and it continued even after that. There was people like, you know, Darren McCarty. There's a very famous fight between the Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche where it was like a whole bench brawl. I think that was in 96 or 7. It's one or the other. And that created a huge rivalry that lasted about 7 years, 10 years.
Wow.
Bam.
My point when I brought that up before was that you don't hear a lot about hockey, period. And it's been around long enough now, you would think that it would have gotten bigger, mm-hmm. and it has to a degree, but like you said earlier, Andy, I think it's just stuck in that northern region. And, you know, the only movie that ever brought any attention to it, you know, in other regions was, what was the name of that movie with the Jamaican team?
Mm. The bobsledding?
Make it. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a bobsled movie, isn't it?
Is that
it?
A bobsled movie? Maybe it is.
They're on skis too, but
see, that's how much I know about hockey.
The more famous hockey movies would either be Miracle, which is based off a true story.
Kurt Russell, yes, that was.
Yeah,
that was a good.
That was when it was a bunch of college kids who defeated the undefeated famous Russian team, and that was. I think that was during when there was a lot of tension between Russia and America as well.
Probably so before the end of the Cold War, I believe.
It was the 1980 Olympics.
Oh, was right. It? Okay.
So that was a big movie as well. Then after that, obviously Slapshot, which was kind of more of a funny style movie.
Yeah. You know, and you've got, what's the one with the kids in it? And
Mighty Ducks,
yeah, I like those as well. And I don't know. I think some publicist or somebody needs to get behind hockey because I don't follow it, but when there is a game on, I'll watch.
I enjoy watching it. Yeah,
yeah, I do. I enjoy watching it quite a bit, actually.
Part of the issue is the leadership in the NHL. Gary Bettman, for instance, is probably one of the most unpopular leaders for a sports organization. Anytime that dude even touches the mic, it doesn't matter what city he's in, it's instantaneously boos all across the crowd.
No one
likes this guy. Yeah, no one likes this guy. I've yet to meet a single person who has anything good to say about his leadership. So
he's
I would imagine. He's up there definitely.
Feel that way. Why is he even bothering to attempt to show his face or speak? I mean, he should have someone else representing.
You'll see it. So when the playoffs wrap up and there is a winner for the Stanley Cup, by the way, one of the nicest trophies in sports history.
It's kind of large.
It's the biggest. We have the largest trophies. I think it's one of the oldest ones. And yeah, it's something worth holding. That's for sure. Something worth fighting for and battling for a whole season. But anytime they do the ceremonies for the trophies, he comes out and it's just a disaster. But and that's why there's still a team in Arizona. They don't belong there, but, you know, I think they have a deal with the NHL where they can't sell and go somewhere else. That might not be a fact. I thought I heard that, so don't quote me. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not allowed to relocate, or it's either that or they presented some sort of new deal recently, and it's got that kind of wording in there. But, yeah. And then they've brought in two new teams recently in the last, 4 years. They've opened up some expansion teams. So I think they're trying to build more hype. Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever look at a Vegas game, it looks like a game that's in Vegas. It's completely hype. They don't really have a huge fan base, but people go to Vegas and then they want to go see a game, so it's a good opportunity. They have a lot of fun, right. So there is that as well. And Andy wasn't lying about the playoffs also being fun and just going through and being able to root for teams. It is a fun way to learn who players are. For instance, like I said before, the Red Wings used to have a huge rivalry with Colorado. At this point, though, I would say Colorado is one of my favorite teams to watch. Their first line is one of the absolute best lines I've ever seen in the NHL. They have chemistry like most athletes do not gain with their partners. And it's almost like they're mind readers, the way they just operate and are able to perform on ice and execute. So it is a lot of fun, especially at the playoffs when everybody's doing their best and there's a lot of really good games on.
I think if you have any plans to become a hockey fan, the first thing you need to do is attempt to ice skate.
My ankles are not strong enough.
No, what I'm saying, if you realize how difficult it can be to ice skate and watch those guys on the ice and how they don't even think about it.
It's like walking for them, you know?
Yeah. And just amazing some of the stuff that they can do on ice. It blows me away.
Yeah. So, Craig, you know, there is a hockey league or a hockey team in Flagstaff at the skating rink. You should probably check that out.
Yeah, it would be something I'd like to do. I haven't updated any of my equipment since I was a bit younger, so that's something I would also need to do. The one thing they don't tell you about hockey is that it is an expensive sport to play. Between renting ice time and the equipment needed just to go out there and not
you
get
have
killed.
If you have any aversion to body odor, you do not want to be a hockey player. I'm telling you, just walk by a hockey locker and you'll understand what I'm talking about. They sweat inside those pads, even though they're on the ice. They sweat inside those pads, and those pads hold that smell eternally. You put anything else in the room with where you're storing the pads, and it's going to smell like BO.
That's not a lie.
It's not. No, it's. I mean, I remember the. I went to a game that our company was playing, and I was on the side where the hockey lockers were at. And I'm like, I said to someone, where is that awful smell coming from? And they're like, oh, it's from the locker. And I'm like, well, don't they clean them? Like, oh, yeah, it's just the equipment. The equipment holds that smell. And you realize that the more you're around it, the more you realize, yeah, that smell doesn't go away.
You would think with the technology we have today, they could make something that does not absorb that odor.
I don't know what the deal is, but I used to work for a company where we did fire restoration. So anything that was in the house during the fire that didn't get burned, but absorbed all the smoke smell.
Right.
We would bring it in, we'd stick it in this room, and we'd get rid of the smoke smell.
Huh.
A few times we got just tons and tons and tons of hockey equipment.
Mm-hmm. Probably use an ozone machine or something, right?
Yeah. We could get rid of the we'd clean the hell out of the stuff. We'd get rid of the smoke smell, but the BO smell did not leave. It just wouldn't leave.
No thanks.
That was the one thing I noticed that was definite about hockey, no matter where you're at, was that BO smell of in the equipment.
No thanks.
Unless you buy new equipment every time, you're not going to get rid of it. It's just,
that's true. Yeah.
You know,
that's why you like those cold nights, so you can leave the bag outside and it'll kill a little bit of that smell. But it's, you know, it's a bacteria thing in a sense. You get that sweat deep into those pads, and then it's technically bacteria. So
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's hard to get rid of that smell.
That stuck out to me. I was like, whoa. You're not saying a whole lot, Andy. You didn't fall asleep on us, did you?
No, I'm here. I'm just enjoying the chat.
Andy, how do you so looking at the playoffs, if you've been keeping up with them, obviously you would have seen that Maple Leafs advance from the first round finally.
Yeah, 20 and years.
God knows how long. Yeah. Yeah, it's been so much fun.
Four or something.
It's been so much fun watching them just eat it right in the first round every time. But this is going to get interesting now that they've eliminated the Lightning.
Yeah.
And today's actually got an enormous game.
Seattle's going to go and whip up on your little Avalanche buddies. I'm sorry to tell you that.
I'm holding strong. So I actually started saying for like the last 3 years that they were going to win the cup. So finally, when they did it last year, I felt vindicated, and I haven't had that same secure feeling about them because I haven't kept up with it as much, but I'm still going to root for them. But that's not even the game that's the biggest one. How about let's look at the Panthers and the Bruins.
Boston, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Boston, so,
for the rest of you guys, what? Boston set the all-time record for the most wins in a regular season this year. Oh, wow. And they are currently got forced to a game 7 today against when the Panthers made the playoffs as a wild card or something on the last day of the season.
Yeah, and they're the 8th seed. Yeah, and they forced them to game 7 with a enormous game 6. Game 6 was crazy.
Yeah, it was nice. I missed it. I didn't miss it, but like, so I watched the game. It's like 3-1 or something. Boston was up for a minute, and I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. I gotta go take care of some stuff, right? I'm down for like 5 minutes, and I come back, and the damn game is 5-5.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just insane. There was just this explosion of goals, and then
you don't usually score that quick.
No, it was nuts. It was, they said, I don't remember, 4 or 5 goals in 3 minutes or something.
Wow.
Finally, they get to the playoffs. They got an amazing team. And then out of nowhere, this 8th seed team is just fighting them tooth and nail.
The what do they call those again?
Boston Bruins versus Florida Panthers.
No, I mean the the wild card team.
Oh, yeah. The wild card team.
That came in and upset it. So they actually wound up having to go to 7 games in the playoff, right? You said?
Yeah. Yeah. The 7th game is in about 2 hours, a little less than 2 hours.
Oh, today? So,
yes. So there's anybody who got forced to a game 7 is playing today. So the first round is going to wrap up tonight. And we're going to know who's all going in. Well, actually, so I'm incorrect. There are some people who yesterday got forced to a game 7, like the Devils and the Rangers. So we'll see them Monday.
Oh, wow.
Well, but yeah. A lot of games are going all the way full series. So.
Wow.
Those teams get tired, they get grinded on, and then they have little time to recover, and they go straight into the next round. And that's another thing about hockey is you'll hear about the playoffs and the seasons and all these players getting injured. You won't really find out about NHL players' injuries until after the cup, and then you find out like they had a torn ligament or some other serious stuff and stayed on the ice and kept playing just to get that cup.
Oh, well. Yeah, I think it was, there's always a bunch of them, but last year a good one was Darnell Nurse on Edmonton, played like 10 games or something with 3 broken ribs and didn't tell anyone.
Wow.
It's just not all that uncommon. And earlier you're referencing, these guys will come out, just something horrible will happen and they'll be back for a next shift. There was one this year, the guy, I can't remember what team he was, but he took sort of an awkward fall, took a skate up under his helmet right next to his eye, went off and got 75 stitches on his face, and he was back the next period.
Was that during Vegas? Was that during the Vegas? That was recent, right?
Yeah, it was the last week. It was like in the –
yeah.
I just don't know why I can't remember who it was because I've been watching so many games.
No, that's a wonderful point, though. So, yeah, there was during the playoffs, it was the Vegas series, and one of the guys fell and got cut by the skate, like you said, and one of the Vegas players came over and picked him off of that skate to help him out. So that's another great thing about hockey is that even though you're playing each other, you'll see them look out for each other in a lot of cases.
You got some camaraderie.
Yeah, it only makes sense to be that way, though. I mean, it's a dangerous sport. People don't realize how dangerous it is. You're flying down the damn rink at, 40 miles an hour, which I'm assuming they probably get close to that fast a lot of times. And
with blades on your feet.
Yeah. If you were to knock somebody over and run across them or anything like that, you could do some serious damage. People just don't pay attention anymore. They blow off about something and they think they got it right and they are completely 100% wrong. That frustrates me a lot of times about even watching some of the stuff because you get these people who are talking, who are supposed to be experts in that field, and they haven't got a clue.
Right. You
know? So I don't know. Anyway, well, I think, you know, we got a good start to this. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Hello, everybody. We are back. We've been talking and weren't even recording. So, but we're back now and you'll be able to hear what we're talking about. We actually got off on a conversation about the ancientness of the earth and how old it really is compared to what people say it is.
Mm-hmm.
The things that have been found in Arizona. I started with me saying that the story I saw recently about Egyptian artifacts being found in the Grand Canyon.
And that blows my mind.
Yeah, and then we went to as far as all the continents were connected at one time. And Craig started telling us a story about the petrified tree forest and how it isn't. Where it's at now is not where it started.
Right. Yeah.
But it just leads you to believe that, you know, there is no, absolutely no possible way the earth is only 6,000 years old. I mean, it could be if God is who they say he is and has that kind of power. But even if he exists, I think his power comes from learning the ins and outs of being a human, because we're supposedly created in the image of God, then we are just as he is and he is just as us. He just has more power because he's learned how to do things.
He uses more than 10% of his brain. That's
exactly.
If we had the opportunity to use more,
just imagine what you could do if you could use more than 10% of your brain.
I mean, the possibilities are endless. It's telepathy.
Well,
you wouldn't even have to talk. You could just communicate through telepathy.
That, putting that aside for just a moment, some of the exceptional people that you come across, you know, and especially now with the way social media and media period is, you see everything like the instant after it happened. So you're more in tune to find out about someone over in Russia that can play piano with their eyes closed and their ears plugged or whatever. You know what I'm saying, though? People are doing amazing things physically, mentally. I'm sure you've seen it, Andy. I mean, Andy has a degree in physics, so he was exposed to quite a few intelligent people. And I'm sure you've seen stuff like that where you're just amazed by something someone either figured out or they can do.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, and it just lends to the idea that I think people are more capable than they give themselves credit for.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of times the way they attempt to do things or the way that they try to get things accomplished, they're wasting their time.
Right.
You know, if they would just learn that the limitations on humans are not as profound as they think they are. I mean, I think that we have a lot more ability to do things than we give ourselves credit for. But I look forward to hopefully living long enough to see some of that stuff. Just in technology alone, we've advanced quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it, you know, I've been watching a lot of this or listening to more podcasts about it lately, but about the whole alien visitation type things, you know, whether people believe in alien life forms or anything like that, and how you could think for 1 minute that we are the only intelligent beings in the universe.
Right. Well, you know, growing up, you know, going to school where Joey and I went to school, you know, there was a lot of Ellen White, you know, she supposedly had visions of, you know, when we're taken to heaven, that we would be stopping at different galaxies and meeting different beings. And, you know, so, and it's also in the book of Enoch, you know, that was banned from the Bible.
Yeah.
And Enoch was Noah's great grandfather.
I think I have a hard time trusting the Bible because of the books that they left out. Or the other stuff that.
For what intention?
Haven't been told or been interpreted correctly or any of that. It's so old and ancient that how could you. I don't trust human.
Man's interpretation.
Yeah, man's interpretation or humankind to get it right.
Right.
They have to rewrite it every so often to make it more palatable to the current audience. Because if you were to go in and start reading older Testament style writings, it becomes quite brutal in some cases. So I think, like, as times change, they have to, you know, remove maybe some stuff, some details, and try and keep it a little better.
I get that, but if, let's say, for example, that we all believe God exists, no doubt in our mind whatsoever. If that is the case, I really have a difficult time believing he would get it wrong.
No, he would not get it wrong.
So either man has screwed things up so bad that we don't know the truth.
I would probably go with that one.
Or there is no God. You know, and it's so surrounded around the Bible. And if you really read the Bible, it kind of follows through and stays true to itself. But we don't know what they've taken out. So I have a hard time with that. I don't know. I just am the type of person, the older I get, the more proof I need.
Well, supposedly there were Dead Sea Scrolls that were found that are kept under lock and key at the Vatican, that if ever gotten out would destroy the Catholic religion or society. Well, the
Catholics don't follow.
Well, what's in the Vatican?
I'm sorry?
I said, well, what's in the Vatican, you know? You'll never find out the stuff that's deep in there. Well, you wouldn't matter if you went there or not. They lock stuff up that's in those chambers that no one will see.
And it's considered a sovereign country, so you have no access, period. Catholic Church.
Interesting how that works, right? You know, they got a lot of stuff and memorabilia and relics and things from, you know, over the long course of history that the Vatican has been around, especially if you look at, for instance, World War II and when they were helping Nazis with rat lines and stuff like that. So I do wonder what is hidden in there that doesn't belong to them.
I don't trust the Catholic Church at all.
No.
They've killed more people than pretty much any
and the
dictator or ruler that ever has. They kill people under the name of God because they refuse to be Catholic.
But the Catholic Church was originally designed as a political force.
Yeah.
Not a religious force.
Yeah, that's the Catholic Church is the reason the Church of England exists.
Mm-hmm.
Henry VIII developed that so he could marry different people without, you know, having to have the priest approval.
Right.
That's what throws me off of so much religion is because of what it has been done to manipulate people across history, you know?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that most religions share a lot of interesting similarities too when you start to look into it?
Oh yeah.
Like the Christmas tree, I believe that was something that was directly taken from paganism.
Yes, it is. It's a pagan symbol. It was developed, it brought into Christianity, I think, by Luther when he split off from the Catholic Church, but it represented something, and I can't remember what it represented, but it represented something within the church. But its basic principle stem is from pagan rituals and not from Christianity. I didn't want to get on a religious discussion. It just, it's there. It's part of history. It's hard to talk about ancient history and not mention it. Because it surrounded a lot of things that developed in ancient history, you know, because of religion, the things that people did some psycho stuff based on religion, and they weren't necessarily a Christian religion. They were worshiping some made up God or whatever, it's the amount of people that have suffered because of religion is, I'm sure, far greater than anyone who has benefited from religion. And it's sad.
It seems like religions, from my personal views, because I'm technically an atheist, it does seem like religion was, first off, it's whether it's the Quran or it's the Bible, these are some of the oldest known and told stories. So if you do look at history, obviously, they do play a big part in the developments of things over times. Yeah. I feel like, and this is just a personal opinion, but I feel like it was a lot of ways created to give people direction and try and give them like a code to live by.
Yeah.
That way you would treat others nice and, you know, have certain standards. Now, looking at their standards back then versus our standards now, obviously some things would look, you know, either to be common sense or some of them would look, the actions would look to be heinous in today's time. So
yeah.
Well, that's just my thought. So
one of the things, you know, and the terminology may be incorrect in today's society, but one of the things that I find peculiar about the Bible is how it seems to make it okay to have slaves.
Well, yeah, slavery was something that was certainly not invented in America and has been around since the beginning of time. There was, you know, even tribes enslaving other tribes down to the beginning. So, they would have that.
I understand that, but by writing about it and saying that, you know, basically stating that it's okay to have slaves, then I don't know. I just don't see someone who is truly a follower of what God supposedly teaches, how they would ever think that owning someone personally is right. Regardless of the time,
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand how you can say, slavery, that's okay. It's okay to force someone to have no rights and to work for you and do everything you say, and they're your slave.
Well, that's what they're trying to do to us now with the federal government.
Well, they do that anyway.
Take our rights away from us.
They tell us that we have rights, but if it doesn't fit in
with their narrative,
they change the rules. Just like the guys, I saw it the other day. There's these two guys that got arrested, or three people, whatever it was, that got arrested and are getting convicted for basically speaking their mind.
Wow.
So they're violating their freedoms of speech.
Right.
And prosecuting them. And I thought, how is that even possible?
Right.
We have a constitution in this country, and that constitution is supposed to be followed, but they don't. They do whatever they want.
Well, have you ever watched those First Amendment audits?
No.
It's just basically people who go into publicly funded places and will record, and you got some of them who might be a little bit over the top obnoxious, but there's plenty who are perfectly respectable and just peacefully in there recording, which, First Amendment rights, all of them. And you cops will come up, and there sometimes they're either they understand the law and they don't bother them, or they're really nice to them. And then there's other times where they'll start putting hands on them, detaining them, arresting them, and violating their civil rights just to end up costing the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The thing of it is they have, and people have said this over and over again, but it's really becoming more evident now, they have forgotten who they work for.
Exactly.
They don't seem to think that they work for the American public.
Well, the biggest problem is they call it a democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic.
Yeah.
And a democracy is with a dictatorship. And that's exactly what they're trying to do, is create a dictatorship.
Well,
and take our rights away and do away with the Constitution.
All they are doing by attempting any of this is pushing us into a revolution. And I've heard it so many times from people who you would think would never say this, that this country is headed towards a revolution.
A civil war.
We don't have the backbone, in my opinion. If that was the case, I feel like it would have happened a while ago. And if you look at other countries, for instance, I know I've talked to you about this, Lynn, but flat out, if you look at France right now, they raised the retirement age two years older.
So yeah, I saw that.
Before, that country and its citizens are burning that place to the ground in protest, and they've been doing it for well over a month, actually probably a few months now at this point.
They went because from they're not going to put up with it. 60 to 62.
Yeah, well, they did that a while ago, and then they raised it again recently from 62 to 64. People were mad the first time.
Underneath what ours is currently.
Oh, yeah.
You can do early retirement at 62, but you're not going to get what you would get if you waited until you were 67.
Yeah.
They've raised holy hell about that.
They don't even have guns.
No, they don't.
We won't lift a finger. We'll complain about it. Mm-hmm. Plenty. But we won't lift a finger. And the minute somebody does decide to do something, cough, cough, January 6th. Next thing you know, everybody's a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reason, the reasoning behind the pandemic had nothing to do with anything but seeing how the American public would respond to
how much control they could actually have.
Yeah, exactly. And they controlled us every which way they could. And
oh yeah.
People did it because they were terrified.
Well, most people did it.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't, but
I
did it when I was forced to by other corporations, you know. Mm-hmm. But as far as it was ridiculous to wear a mask. I mean, it might have helped.
There's that it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
I think it was ridiculous to trust the guy who completely screwed up and botched the AIDS epidemic. This was a little bit before my time, but looking into history, Fauci has quite a reputation during that time frame on screwing a lot of things up.
Right.
And never being held accountable. And then somehow he's the highest paid person in the government now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Who's not held accountable
at all. I don't get it.
You know, I don't understand why, you know, left wing can get away with murder. And then, you know, it takes forever to get anything done with it. Where if, you know, somebody pays $130,000 to a porn star, you know, the world's coming to an end, and that goes straight to the court. It's like, how come they don't, there's no prosecution on that side. There's nothing, there's no retribution.
Yeah.
The same reason why you don't ever hear anything about Jeffrey Epstein anymore.
Exactly.
Even though more evidence comes out.
Ghislaine Maxwell is the only person that was convicted of child trafficking, but to who? To no one?
Yeah. If people can't see that a certain few individuals run this country and control everyone and tell the leaders of, you know, the police force, FBI, whoever else, what to do and how to do it. If they can't see that that is exactly what is going on in this country, then they're just blind.
Well, that's the whole reason why they don't want Donald Trump in office, is because he was exposing, and he was getting close to exposing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And if he gets back in office, he's going to finish the expose, you know, and
he's not going
to. A lot of people will go to prison. A lot of people will be executed for prison.
I really think if it gets close to him making it back into office, he's just going to suddenly die of a heart attack. They'll kill him. They're not going to let him back in. They'll kill anybody they want. They don't
care. Well, yeah, look at Hillary. She's got more deaths under her belt than anybody.
Yeah, her and Bill both.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Allegedly.
We're going to call it a suicide. Craig. He's got two gunshot wounds to the head, and he was tied to a tree, but it was self-inflicted.
Don't forget the armed robbery where the guy's wallet and all that stuff never got stolen.
Exactly. Yeah. He was mugged, but they didn't take anything from it.
Yeah. If you're gonna take the effort to shoot or kill someone during a mugging, I think you could take 1-2 seconds to pull the wallet out of their pocket and take off. Otherwise, what's
not if that's going? Not your goal?
Well, exactly. But you can't claim it's a mugging. They were told not to investigate, so they didn't investigate. That's just how it is, you know, and we all know that.
Yeah.
And we all accept that that's how they operate. And we know, you know, alone, we can't do anything about it.
It's like that Bill Hicks joke where he talks about the JFK conspiracy and how they say, oh, he got shot. in the back of the head, and Bill Burgess or Bill Hicks just keeps saying, you know, talking about how the angle of how his head snaps back into the left.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know much about bullets, but that doesn't seem to calculate.
Yeah. No. Well, they were just talking about this on Joe Rogan's podcast the other day too. He had a guest on, and they were talking about the assassination of Kennedy and how, you know, they don't believe for one second that it was one person shooting from a window. I mean, it just doesn't add up.
They had a scapegoat, and they had their
their
snipers.
Didn't they just have a document release about a lot of files with JFK? And I'm almost positive most of it was blacked out.
I'm sure it was. A lot of it was redacted, so you couldn't tell what the hell was going on or who was involved. Yeah.
It's a point on releasing information if you're going to just black out all information.
No shit, huh?
There isn't any point. It's a fact that they can say we released the information. What do you want? Well, if it's all redacted, it's not going to do anybody any good. So
you're not releasing anything.
No, it's people who think that they are ever going to be honest with us, or and that they're ever going to find out the truth legitimately, is fooling themselves. So, yeah. I don't know. It's insane the way that they do things.
You know what? Live your best life and, you know, worry about you and your.
Yeah. I think Andy dropped off on us.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. He had to take off. Not a problem. Okay. It's not a problem. We can keep going. He was just texting me, letting me know. But, yeah. It's, you know, I could talk all day about stuff like that because it just bugs the living crap out of me.
Sure.
That people don't see what's obvious, you know
they don't. You know, they've got all this evidence against Hunter Biden. It's like, well, why hasn't anything ever been, how come they don't do anything about it?
Well, you know, I mean, the
Joe Biden and his family scams, you know, and their corrupt business dealings, but nothing happens.
Yeah,
there's evidence now. That
takes records from the White House, and the minute he takes them, they're declassified because he's the president. But we want to make a big to-do about it when it was already declassified.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, Joe Biden and Mike Pence also had classified documents with them. So,
oh, absolutely, yeah. But nothing, you know, that's okay. Why is it okay?
You got to remember too, I don't know if you've kept up with it, but there has been evidence that during the last election that this Hunter Biden laptop information was available then, but Joe Biden had reached out, I believe, to the CIA. It was either the CIA or FBI, but I believe it was the CIA, to have them essentially push the information as Russian propaganda. And right, but if you noticed,
that was false. I mean, that they were told to do that by Joe Biden.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it was literally wrote to them of him asking for that, which would heavily affect the election, obviously. So, you know, why is that allowed?
Exactly. And that's election meddling. Yeah, anybody else would be put in jail for it, where, you know, you got the criminals just walking around doing what they want.
It just drives me nuts. The whole thing, it's so pathetic. And how they can sit there and think that no one can figure out what they're up to.
Well, they want to create a society of non-thinkers. They don't want free thinkers. They want non-thinkers.
Well,
so you don't question. Yeah.
They're not. Maybe,
look at our media.
Maybe the way that they're developing the school system now, they may have that non-thinker thing going on eventually, because they are not learning anything near to what we learned in school. Right. I don't quite understand what they're even teaching these kids. But it's definitely designed against you and your child. Mm-hmm. If you want your child to learn the way you think they should learn, you need to either do homeschooling or put them in a private school.
True.
Because the public school system is lacking very much.
Well, it's run by the corrupt government.
Well, it's lacking more than it ever was when we went to school. And
oh yeah,
you know, you mentioned it last week. They're feeding them the same food that they feed prisoners.
Inmates, yeah.
Yeah, inmates. So the whole system is so corrupted.
We don't fund education. That's our biggest problem. We're not worried about making smarter people.
It wouldn't be that difficult to fund education or to making the money available. There are so many sources where they could be funding education better and where people wouldn't feel bad about paying it if it was happening.
Right.
But they just don't do it. I think you were right in your first statement saying they just want us all dumb and stupid.
They do, so they can control us.
I
would personally love my tax money to be going towards things like Medicare for all, public schools, you know what, even colleges being affordable.
State colleges should be like public school. You should be able to go to a state college for no charge.
These colleges have taken advantage of the government and people because they know that most kids are going to apply for FAFSA, which is financial aid to go to college. Yeah. Yeah. They know they can charge them suddenly four times the amount on the same educational degree as they did 20 years ago. I looked at it too. I have a friend who graduated from KSU for accounting. And when she went to school, it was less than $30,000 to get that degree. And now it would be about $100 at that same school or $100,000 at that same school. The information hasn't changed. It's still accounting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, where does that jump get to? I know inflation. I know, you know, dollar changes over tens and
yeah,
tens
but if
of
you're
years.
Paying $100,000 for a degree in accounting.
And then you end up working at McDonald's.
Well, or you end up as an accountant, but you're only making $50,000 a year. How is where's the payout?
Yeah.
You know, $50,000 a year anymore is not that much money.
No, it's not.
That's if they're starting out at $50,000 a year as an accountant, it'd be highly unlikely. So to me, that's what I look at when you look at what an education costs. If that degree costs me more than I can make in my first year or two at a job doing that, then the degree payment is too high.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to school to be go for culinary arts, so be a chef and stuff like that. And when you're all said and done, if you work even at McDonald's, they'll consider you like employed in your field, and that college isn't required to help you find a good career or anything like that. Yeah. So it is just a funnel system to make tons and tons of money off of the government, who clearly doesn't care about trying to minimize the damage to the civilians.
I'm not the biggest Trump fan, but that was what he was trying to do, was to say, hey, let's be accountable for what we're spending.
Yeah.
And
Biden made it impossible to file bankruptcy.
What's that?
Biden made it impossible to file for bankruptcy and or get your student debts removed. Or was it medical? He did one or the other, but I know you can't like get those taken care of through bankruptcy at this point. So those,
oh wow,
that debt is stuck with you. And I know he's, you know, talked about loan forgiveness and stuff like that, but those are all just words, as we've seen. There's been no loan forgiveness. Well,
it was for the benefit of a midterm election too.
Yeah.
You know, vote Democrat and I'll get your student loans squashed.
And people eat that because they're desperate.
But you know, they're not smart enough to figure it out that he doesn't have the authority to do that. He has no authority to forgive your student debt.
It's all just so pathetic, you know, and unless someone can come up with there should be a way. And I know there is, but it's very difficult. But there should be a way to say, hey, it's been a year or it's been 2 years. None of us like this president. We want him out of office.
Oh, he got 81 million votes.
Yeah, bullshit. Absolute fucking bullshit.
It is bullshit. And
you know it is.
I do.
With that being said, that's a good way to end it. Until next week, think big.
Think loud.